It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. It is time for our annual Orange and Brown Talk Awards show. Lobby with Mary Kay Cabot and Ashley Bastock. We are going to hand out, we're going to do this in two parts. So today we are going to hand out four awards: the MVP, the most disappointing player, the rookie of the year, and the most improved player. And then we've got a bunch more awards that we're going to hand out on our next podcast. I asked our texters for some nominations too. The way we've normally done this is we've nominated players, we've talked through it, and then we've handed out the award. We haven't always agreed, but we've sucked it up and we've handed out the award to one person. So let's get to it. Let's just jump right in. The most valuable player for the Cleveland Browns in the 2023 season. I am very interested to see where this goes because it feels like there's an obvious choice, but it also feels like there's some other interesting discussions to be had. I did not do any sort of draft lottery, so I guess what we'll do is, Mary Kay, you can be you can be first up for this one, and then we'll just kind of go around the horn as we go through some of these awards. So why don't you go first? Who is your nominee for most valuable player?
Well, I am going to go with Myles Garrett, who I do believe has a very, very good chance of winning NFL Defensive Player of the Year on February 8th at the NFL Honors in Las Vegas. I do think that he seems to be still the betting favorite to get it. And the fact that he won the most votes, he earned the most votes in AP first team all-pro voting. Those are the same 50 voters that vote for NFL Defensive Player of the Year. So if he got most of the first place votes there, I think there's a really, really good chance that he's going to beat out TJ Watt for that award. So certainly, I think he qualifies here for the MVP of the Cleveland Browns. What I don't love is the fact that I do think he tailed off again at the end of the season. And, you know, I really think that somehow Miles and the team and the training staff and everybody else, they need to find a way to get him to the finish line really strong and get him into the playoffs strong. We saw him have a shoulder injury. We saw him not be able to lift his arm. We don't know how much that had to do with anything. But I do think that one sack in his final seven games, including the playoff game, that's just not what's expected of Myles Garrett. He will have a new position coach this year. So maybe the position coach will identify something in him that enables him to sustain that torrid start that he always has throughout the entire season. It is a long season. He's constantly double teamed. Sometimes he's triple teamed. He's very rarely ever single blocked. So that gets very, very difficult by the end of the season. He's the guy, best defensive player, best defense in the NFL. But again, caveat, try to find a way going forward to stay strong through the end.
I will mention last year, I should have mentioned this off the top. Last year, we gave this award to Joel Bitonio. Look how smart we are, giving it to an offensive guard. Just perfect.
Listen, no. I'm going to push back on this, Dan, because I sense the sarcasm. Joel 100% deserved that award in a season.
I nominated Joel last year. I was just surprised when I went back and looked and saw that Joel Batonio was the winner.
But that was
I voted for Miles last year because he had 16 sacks and he tied he tied the record last year, and I thought it was one of the first years where he did kind of, you know, stay pretty darn strong through the end. And it was a challenging year for him. It was a really challenging year. So I did feel like he should have gotten it last year. But I had to acquiesce to the crowd.
That's how this works. That's why we do the nominees. We can only pick one winner, but this is like, you know, like sometimes you just get nominated and you don't win. It's like San Francisco or Kansas City. One of those teams is going to lose the Super Bowl, and it doesn't mean they aren't a good team or they aren't deserving. So, okay, Ashley, why don't you nominate someone? Now, you can nominate Miles. You can second Mary Kay here. If there's somebody else you're thinking of, you can throw out a nomination of your own.
I'm going to throw out a nomination on my own because there was another guy I was thinking of. And I do think maybe, but I actually kind of doubt it. I wonder if the Houston game is going to taint the memory, or at least the memory of the season in the short term. But I have to nominate Joe Flacco here because I 100% believe they would not have made the playoffs without Joe Flacco. Obviously, he throws the two picks in that wild card game, but you can't ignore how important he was, you know, obviously on the field, but the way he came in and kind of, you know, meshed himself into the fabric of this team immediately the way he did. I just think like it was the best story in the NFL this year for me, the way he kind of proved everybody wrong. But I just, when you're looking at the definition truly of most valuable, I don't think they would have made it as far as they did if they had, you know, to run it back with DTR and PJ Walker. It just wouldn't have happened. He was just so instrumental down the stretch of the regular season for me.
Okay, so this is a good one. I'm glad you brought up Joe Flacco. There's another name I want to bring up too that our texters threw out. I'll go through some of their nominations because Joe was going to be the name that I kind of threw out too. To me, it was between Miles and Joe Flacco. So I was looking. When Joe Flacco took over, right, that was in L.A., and the Browns were 7-4, and they lost that game in L.A., so they were 7-5 when Joe Flacco made his second start against the Jaguars, and they ran off four wins in a row, and then they lost to the zombie Browns, basically, lost to the Bengals. What I was trying to figure out, Mary Kay, what I was trying to answer was, could the Browns have gone 3-2 over the last five games, which would have gotten them to 10 wins and would have given them a chance to get in? Pittsburgh got in at 10-7. Could the Browns have gone 3-2 if DTR or PJ Walker were starting over the last month of the season?
No.
Okay.
No, the answer is no. I don't think they get there without Joe. I don't think they would have done it. I really don't. Those guys were throwing interceptions at an alarming rate. They combined for two touchdowns and I think nine interceptions or something like that, or maybe even more. It was not going well with those guys. The moment was too big, and it would not have happened.
Okay, so there is kind of Ashley's case for Joe Flacco for MVP. Does him coming in essentially just the month of December, does him coming in and being one of the main reasons the Browns made the playoffs, does that sway you at all, Mary Kay? Does that make you think, well, maybe it should be Joe instead of Miles? Or does Miles' body of work still trump what Joe did?
It's a tough one because there is a recency bias with Joe, whereas Miles tailed off at the end. Miles was a very big reason in the beginning of the season that they were able to keep things going. And a major reason why they didn't fall woefully behind after Deshaun Watson suffered the strained rotator cuff And, you know, and they were having to start DTR and PJ Walker. A major reason was because of the defense. So if you look back to, you know, that chunk of time, you know, they continued to win some games throughout that period. So you could make the case that the defense, that they never would have been able to sustain that kind of winning or that kind of record or get there at all without the number one defense in the NFL, holding teams to nothing, overcoming the most turnover giveaway happy team in the NFL. So, you know, I think you can make a case for either guy. I really do. I mean, you know, no one felt that there was a better story in the NFL this year about Joe Flacco than I did. I mean, I really, truly believe he was the feel-good story in the NFL this year. So you could definitely make a case for him. And, you know, if it ends up that way for us and he is our winner, I will not have any problem with that whatsoever. You're going to have to be the tiebreaker here, Dan.
Well, let me throw out some other names here real quick. Just go through some of our texter nominations. Overwhelmingly, Myles Garrett was the name. Basically, what I did was I sent a survey and I had them write in the names that they would nominate. And Myles Garrett was an overwhelming, I mean, he's in here a million times. Somebody misread the question and voted for Patrick Mahomes. I guess they were thinking league MVP. Anyway, JOK got a couple nominations. Dustin Hopkins got a nomination. Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry got nominations. One other interesting one is Amari Cooper. He got nominated as well. Is there any case to be made for Amari Cooper from anyone?
Amari had a fantastic season. He really did. And he, like David Njoku, really came alive and flourished when Joe came in. And he was tremendous, but I think he's just a rung below Miles and Joe.
I think the argument, Ashley, would be if you took Amari Cooper off of this team, what would it look like? But yeah, I mean, you can make that argument too for, we kind of just did for Flacco, and you can make that argument for Miles too. But if you took Amari off of this team, what does this receiving core look like?
You can. I mean, I think I am more susceptible to that argument, Dan, because I just put together a mock draft roundup and, you know, was again looking at those receiving numbers from this past season because, of course, unsurprisingly, every draft analyst right now has them pegged to a receiver in the second round in this year's draft. But, you know, over 1,000 yards again, we know how important he just was to keeping that offense going. Like, I mean, the next most effective pass catcher wasn't a receiver. It was David Njoku. But, you know, I do think for whatever reason, I'm with Mary Kay on this, that it does feel like that rung below with Amari. And it's not that he trailed off or anything, but I do just think looking at the season as a whole and, you know, the positional value of the other two guys, they are like a step ahead for me. Just barely, though. Just barely.
Okay, well, if I have to be the tiebreaker, I'm going Myles Garrett. For all of that, for all that we just talked about, I just, if it feels like if we're trying to define the 2023 season, and I think Joe's going to be up for some other awards here, I think, but if we're trying to define the 2023 season or tell the story of this season, I think it probably starts with Myles Garrett, especially if he wins Defensive Player of the Year. I just think he deserves it. I think Flacco was great. I think what he brought to this team was great. I don't know that they make the playoffs without him. Then again, I don't know. Maybe they do beat like the Jets, the Bears, and the Bengals. You know, I doubt it. But I think without Myles Garrett, this defense wouldn't have ultimately been what it was. So I'm gonna take Myles Garrett for this award. And so I guess that's it. Our 2024 MVP of the Cleveland Browns is Myles Garrett. So congratulations to him. I don't know if there's some kind of contract bonus for him or what, but he's the winner.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga, Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Okay, so here's the polar opposite. Probably our least favorite award to talk about. The most disappointing player. The winner last year, the unanimous winner last year. he was not unanimously nominated, but he did unanimously win. Jadeveon Clowney. I don't know if we need to rehash all of that. We all know what happened at the end there. We all know the lack of production from Jadeveon. So he was voted our most disappointing player. So for this one, we'll go ahead and start with you, Ashley. Lucky you. Most disappointing
man,
player.
Such
Give
a
us
bummer.
Our first
okay.
nominee.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to go with my gut on this. And, you know, I think maybe some folks out there will think I'm being too hard of this on this guy. But because of all the circumstances, my first gut is Deshaun Watson. And I know maybe it's not fair. And of course, it's not his fault he got injured. But you look at all the circumstances around him, of course, all the baggage he came to Cleveland with, the fact that we're still stuck at this very small sample size of games for him, and we're entering year three, I think is disappointing. But even just looking at the games he played, trust me, the Baltimore game, this is going to come up again in some of our other categories, it's the highlight of the season for me. I think that game was so fundamentally important. I think what he did in that game was amazing. But I wish we saw more of it. And for me, it's like just the fact that we didn't get to see him a ton. He was hurt. Not his fault. Again, not his fault. It's just disappointing. So I think he has to be in consideration in this for me.
This is going to sound like that scene in Good Will Hunting when Robin Williams is just saying to Matt Damon over and over again, it's not your fault.
That's needed a shot. It's not his fault, but it's undeniably disappointing, right? Like, you can't argue with that part of it.
And I'm with you on this. Now, our texters brought up some really good names. I'll get to those. There are some other real candidates for this award. But I do think, for me, if I would have gone first, and I'm just going to sort of second what Ashley said there, I think if you look at the expectations we had for the player versus what we ultimately got out of the player, and there's no like rule here that it has to be like, well, the player played every game and just didn't play well. It can be because of injury. It can be like, at least in my mind, I think you can award this if it happens due to injury. A season later, we still don't exactly know what Deshaun Watson's going to be for the Cleveland Browns. And going into this season, we were thinking this team has a chance to maybe go to the Super Bowl because of Deshaun Watson turning back into Deshaun Watson. And we saw little flashes of it, right? You can point to some throws in the Tennessee game. You can point to how he looked against Arizona. And then, of course, the grand finale against Baltimore when he goes 14 of 14 and leads them on a game-winning drive, right? Like, that's the Deshaun Watson you were waiting for. And then, unfortunately, his season is over. And he was sort of an afterthought to the rest of the year. And so to me, again, sound like Robin Williams here. It's not your fault. But my gut was Deshaun Watson on this as well. So Mary Kay, I don't know if you're with us on that. If you have another name to throw out, tell us what you're thinking here. And then I can throw out some of the names the texters threw out too, that maybe we can discuss.
Sure. I will tell you how I feel about this, because I do feel differently about this, because even though the situation is disappointing, and the circumstances for the Cleveland Browns were disappointing. I mean, we could say the same thing about Nick Chubb. I mean, geez, Nick Chubb, what a disappointment, right? I mean, Nick Chubb didn't play the whole entire season. Why? Because he was hurt, because he had a knee injury, because he couldn't play. And I feel like that's how it was with Deshaun Watson. He was never the same. I just went back and looked at all of his starts again and looked at the first drives for each one of those starts. This was a player that was never the same after he took that hit in, was it week 2 against the Titans?
Week three.
Week 3 against the Titans. Never the same. Never, never, never the same. Still had a 5-1 record, and that does, however, include, you know, the game against the Colts where he had to leave the game after the first quarter. And P.J. Walker came in and pulled that one out. So 5-1 record with an asterisk. 4-1 overall. I don't think that they would have made the playoffs had they lost. I mean, it would have been very difficult to make the playoffs had they lost to the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. When he went out and did what he did in the second half of that game, I thought that was huge for the season. I really do. I think it was a huge, huge moment in time a big snapshot for the season. And the fact that he begged every doctor he could find to shoot him up and let him to shoot up that shoulder and let him play for the rest of the season, I think it shows the kind of commitment that you need from your quarterback. And I just have a hard time calling him the biggest disappointment when he not only put the team on his back in that game and did the almost impossible, he went 14 for 14 against that defense in Baltimore and put 24 points on the board in a come from behind victory. I thought that was huge. And then the fact that he, you know, kept trying and he kept fighting to come back, that shoulder was not right. Strained rotator cuff. It was just a bad scene. I mean, the Colts game, I mean, it was horrible. He just wasn't ready to play football. And so, yes, the circumstances are disappointing, but I can't put that on the most disappointing performance. So that's basically what we're kind of talking about here. Is it the semantics? Can we just make it be anything that we want? And if we can make it be anything that we want, that it was unbelievably disappointing that Deshaun Watson couldn't fulfill his responsibilities because he was injured, then that's cool. I mean, we can do that.
So there was someone who, one of our texters threw out, just the number of injuries was the biggest disappointment. So I don't know if we want to just make it, we can do whatever we want. These are our awards. If we just want to make it the concept of Deshaun Watson getting hurt, it was the biggest disappointment. We could do that.
We could do that. You know what? I also had a player that I wanted to throw out after you're done with some of the reader things. But
you go ahead because I'm sure I bet your player is going to be on the list, and then I'll throw out some other names that I actually think were really interesting that maybe we aren't going to think of.
Yeah, and this is not a big, huge name player, but it is a player that I thought that there were some pretty high expectations for this year, and he was a rookie. And we heard some really cool things about what kind of car he was equated to. You guys know where I'm going with this. You know, they drafted him because he was going to be a Ferrari. Okay. And I'm talking about Siaki Ika. He only got to appear in 5 games. He played all season, only 103 snaps. He only played in 5 games. The Ferrari only played in 5 games. He finished last on defense, according to Pro Football Focus, on the Browns, with a 29.0 grade, dead last. So, you know, when I look at a performance, that's, you know, that's what I think of when I think of, like, most disappointing. And last year when we looked at Jadeveon Clowney, you know, that was a disappointing performance by him. He's a 9.5 sack guy, and he just didn't play football for the Cleveland Browns last year. That was a no-brainer. We were unanimous on that one. So I think I'd look at this particular category as a player that did not achieve the performance expectations for them. But that doesn't have to be what it is. I mean, we could go with Deshaun Watson as it being the most important disappointing circumstance, but I don't think we can pin his performance. And like you said, like you guys said a million times, not your fault, not your fault, not your fault. So if we want to give that award for most disappointing circumstance, it could be Deshaun. It could be all the injuries, you know. Maybe there are different most disappointing categories. You know, maybe there's a most disappointing performance.
We could give out 20 awards today.
And a most disappointing circumstance. I mean, there's a lot category. I mean, it's losing Nick Chubb, losing all the injuries, Deshaun Watson. So if we have to hone it down to something, we can do that. But we should know what we're kind of talking about.
Let's keep it. I guess let's keep it to performance, right? So let's just go ahead and not do Deshaun Watson, because there are other names to throw out there. Ika is interesting. I just don't think it's a big enough I know they talked him up, but I honestly, if we're going to talk about draft picks, I think, you know, you could throw Cedric Tillman into that mix. He didn't really produce, but here are some names that our texters threw out, and there are some good ones in here. I disagree with this. I know his sack numbers maybe weren't high. I still think he was fine. Za'Darius Smith is a name. Marquise Goodwin is a name. But again, there were some circumstances there. You know, he had the blood clots and missed all of camp. You know, he never quite lived up to what I think they wanted him to be. Somebody threw in Jacob Phillips. I'm just throwing that one out there because I thought that was a random pick from one of our texters.
Yeah.
But the name, Cade York was a name that got thrown out. Which is kind of going way back, but that's interesting. We also saw a couple for Juan Thornhill from our texters. But the other name that kept coming up kind of over and over again, you know, Watson was in here, but Elijah Moore, his name came up too. And, you know, for I think what we expected out of him and the way we talked about him, and then also the way the Browns kind of previewed using him in that preseason game, It just never materialized.
No.
So I think he's probably a nominee. I think he is a nominee for this. And you've talked about it, Mary Kay. He was brought in specifically for Deshaun. So this is sort of Deshaun adjacent. He was brought in particularly for Deshaun, and we just never got to see it. So maybe Elijah Moore is the answer here.
Could be. I'll tell you what. Cade York is also a very, very strong candidate.
I really liked that one when I saw somebody throw that name out there.
I mean, he actually kicked his way off the football team. I mean, that's pretty disappointing. And he was a draft pick for a kicker, a fourth round draft pick. And he got booted, no pun intended. Okay, pun intended. But I don't know, you guys.
Well, and he did it before the season even ended. Or, I mean, the season even started, I should say. He did it
because the season hadn't started by the time he was off the team. So
yeah,
I wasn't even thinking about him.
I wonder,
it's like it kind of didn't matter. But,
like, is Cade the answer? Because he didn't even make it to the, like,
I mean,
he didn't even make it to the season.
I mean, that's a good argument. I'm still just stuck on Deshaun. I mean, I think Mary Kay and I just view this fundamentally differently, and that's like fine. We don't have to agree on the same thing. But I think if you asked most Browns fans, people would be like, we still don't know what this guy is, and we're entering year three of this historic deal. So I think for me, like, I'm not going to get, I just want to say that about it. Dan, I think that's kind of what you were getting at too. I think he's allowed to be the most disappointing, in my opinion, still. And if we want to take him off of it, I can. But I just think everybody else, to me, is secondary to Deshaun. So I don't know that I have a good enough perspective on this, because I think it's okay to be disappointed by his, you know, output this season.
Well, I mean, Dan, you felt that way, too. I mean, that was your first instinct, was Deshaun. So you guys, you know, if you guys feel that strongly about it, then we can go with Deshaun. Like I said, these are our awards. So it doesn't have to be, you know, performance. It can be a disappointing whatever. So if that's what you guys want to do, I mean, don't let me completely talk you out of it. I'm glad you're standing your ground, Ashley, because I mean, that's how you feel, you know, and you make valid points. And Dan, you felt that way too. So maybe we go with Deshaun.
That was my gut. I do think your Nick Chubb point is a good one. With the exception that I mean, I hate to say this because we don't know what he's going to be after the injury, but like we knew who Nick Chubb was going to be this year. I mean, even in that game, the Browns are going to win that game if Nick Chubb doesn't have his knee bent the wrong way. He was on his way to 200 yards in that game.
Yeah. That was the big reason for me going Deshaun and not Nick, just because like we know that Nick Chubb's a cornerstone of this franchise and everything he means to the team. Deshaun, now it's just like, oh my gosh, we're entering year three, and now there's all these added questions on top of the old questions we had. But yeah, I mean, I think it's like, for me, when I looked at disappointing, I think the broader, I was okay with this idea of a broader. It's not just about the stats on the field, because I think like that's how fans probably think about it too, in my mind. is just this overall concept of who a guy is or who he's supposed to be.
So here's what I, if we're going to leave it open like that, then I, mm-hmm. I think I would stick with my gut. I'd stick with my first answer to the test, Deshaun. If we're saying that it's too reliant on injury and we're doing strictly performance, I think I would go Elijah Moore.
Okay.
Those would be my two choices. So I,
yeah,
you know, if we're going to go.
I mean, Deshaun's... it is fair. Like, these are two very different things, right? It's like the old category or the old argument of what does like MVP mean, right? Like, is it best statistical season or is it most valuable in this other, you know, sense of we literally would not be here without this guy?
Is the most disappointing? Is this just a concept? The most disappointing thing is we don't know who Deshaun Watson is yet.
I'm probably a little bit
too
more
English.
Of a,
is that too English major?
I think I'm more of a purist. In, you know, you guys know I'm a purist in a lot of things like must win games and things like that. So when I think of the most disappointing player in a season, for me, it's what were the expectations and what was the reality? What were the expectations? What was the reality? That's what I think of. But that doesn't have to be our definition. So we can tweak the definition to fit Deshaun into this if that's what you guys want to do. I'm not against that at all. I do understand that there is an overarching question of, you know, who is he? What is he going to do? What is he going to accomplish? I just think in the microcosm of this particular season, you know, he wasn't able to do what he probably would have done. He wasn't able to do what he could do because he had a fractured shoulder.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I think what we're going to do here, I mean, Ashley and I both said to Sean, I think if we're voting on this, that's good. That's the answer, right?
And Mary, okay.
You voiced your opposition to it.
Yes.
So
that's fine.
I think that's what we'll do here. All right. Like I said, that's our least favorite award to give out for so many reasons. And it's a little surprising how many options there were considering the season they had. I really like that. Cade York is going to stick with me. That's going to be one that in the middle of the night, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be like, oh, maybe we should have done Cade. But
well, that's because it was just him. I mean, even Elijah, you could blame it on the fact that, you know, you could, with extenuating circumstances, he was brought in to kind of fit in with the whole Deshaun paradigm, and without Deshaun and with all the different quarterbacks, he struggled and they couldn't figure out what to do with him. So he was somewhat a victim of circumstances, but Cade was just Cade, their fourth round pick just tanked. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, just from a pure disappointment in performance standpoint, I think he, if we took the other aspect out of it. But let's go with Deshaun because it's two against one. So you guys win.
Okay, we're going to take a break. The next award, I think, I say this carefully, the next award I think is going to be super easy. But we'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll hand that one out. Welcome back to the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Dan Lobby, Mary Kay Cabot, Ashley Bastock. It is our annual Cleveland Browns awards show. I thought this would be so much easier because we got rid of Doug, but nope.
So true.
Did not happen.
Like, we did not escape the spirit of Doug, at least. It was like the spirit of Doug. We both, Mary Kay and I, were possessed by it the last round. We stood our ground firmly on opposite sides. I could almost hear Doug's high-pitched scream. It's like he's here with us.
But you know what? Doug. I mean, we all know that if we all agreed on every one of these, how would that even be interesting podcast fodder? I mean, we're not arguing, you know, debating it, you know, just for fun. I mean, it's how we really feel. And I think that makes for a good, lively debate and a better podcast. So I like disagreeing. And my voice just got high, just like Doug.
Just like Doug. We're talking about Doug like he's dead. I'm talking about Doug like he's no longer with us. Doug is very much alive, folks. Don't worry.
And now we pause the Orange Brown Talk Awards show for our In Memoriam section, where we honor Doug Lemerese, who, as Ashley mentioned, is still alive, but no longer works here.
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to make you a bet. And if the Colts finish with a better record than the Browns, I will hang a poster in my house that says, I love Carson Wentz. And it can be like a shot of him like out leaning against a fence, shirtless with a deer over his shoulder, a dead bloody deer. What am I going to do? I'm going to come on this podcast, start praising Josh Allen. I'm going down with the ship. I'll be in Canton being like, I don't know about that guy. Sure, he's in the Hall of Fame, but how accurate is he? Oh, what? There's not. We're playing tomorrow. We don't have a second edge. Hey, Paul, did you sign Denzel? Oh, no, I thought you were signing Denzel. What? Oh, no, I didn't sign Denzel. I came into the podcast thinking today, I'm not going to be animated today. And I couldn't help it. That is insane analysis. That is insane. Beer's in the fridge. Porno's in the VCR. I'll be back in half an hour. Sunshine, rainbows, and Super Bowls. I would buy that t-shirt. What a grift this whole podcast has been. I have 20 more minutes of shouting in me, but I'm going to hold it to myself and just shout at the walls when we're done.
So last year, we had a unanimous winner for this award. It was Rookie of the Year. Martin Emerson Jr. was our unanimous winner for that award. This year, Rookie of the Year. There were, I don't know how many actual nominees there are for this award. And I'm really happy that I get to go first. Oh, Ashley, you wanted to say something?
Okay. I was just saying there's one nominee. There's one nominee, yeah. In my opinion.
Yeah, and our texters threw out one other option that I think is interesting, but it's not the winner. It's DeJuan Jones. Fourth round pick. I don't know if anyone expected him to start this year, and I don't know that anyone expected him to start and play as well as he did from the jump this season. We're coming out. I think the bigger discussion here is, what are the Browns going to do at tackle moving forward now? Because they've got three tackles who are coming back and are going to want to play, and two of them are really expensive. So I think DeJuan Jones is going to be a tackle on this team, whether it's the right side or the left side. He's going to be a starting tackle on this team for a long time. I'm surprised how quickly it happened. We all stood there and watched him at rookie minicamp, not even being able to make it through drills. We saw Bill Callahan and Scott Peters working him. And lo and behold, the guy gets thrown into the fire in week one when Jack Conklin goes down, has to start his first career game against TJ Watt and held his own. And now it's like this guy might go down as maybe Andrew Berry's best draft pick when all is said and done, depending on where he ends up. Our texters threw out one other name. I'm going to look through and see if there's any others that they threw out. But I think this is DeJuan Jones, and I don't know how much of an argument there is. I don't even know who else is legitimately in this discussion, Mary Kay.
No, I mean, there's a runner up, but DeJuan Jones definitely gets this award, and we are not going to disagree on that at all. Super proud of him for getting that turned around after, you know, throwing up all over the place on the sidelines in rookie mini camp. And, you know, I watched a lot of things that went on with him, you know, just throwing his helmet down at the Greenbrier when he couldn't get something. That also showed me that, you know, he's a perfectionist. He wants to get it right. He wants to do it the way that, that the other guys are doing it. And, you know, when I did the one-on-one interview with him and he talked about, you know, wanting to follow in the footsteps and chase Joe Thomas's legacy, those are some lofty goals. Those are some big things to say as a rookie. And Joe Thomas said those same kind of things as a rookie. And it was good to hear it because he really meant it. And I think he has what it takes to really try to live up to that. And he was such a steal for the Browns in the fourth round. Incredible steal, because everybody just bought into the story that he just loved basketball and wasn't going to be a true, you know, gym rat football player. And you know what? He's doing it. And good for him. I think he's going to be a really great story for many years to come.
Yeah, Ashley, yeah, and there's no argument here. Well, let's go through the runners up here after this, but go ahead and heap your praise upon DeJuan Jones here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I truly think there was only one nomination this year. Actually, earlier today, I didn't have anything in front of me, and I no joke forgot that DeJuan was only a rookie this year, because I'm like, is there a Rookie of the Year nomination? And I'm like, oh yeah, DeJuan Jones, who was like one of the best pass blocking tackles in the league this year. I don't have all the numbers in front of me, but I know like his pass blocking grade on PFF was in the top like 25 easily. I'm sure it would have been higher if he hadn't gotten hurt. But yeah, I mean, it does kind of just go back to this idea that I think when he got here, and like Mary Kay said, when we saw him throwing up on the sidelines at rookie minicamp, it was like, oh gosh, is this guy going to be able to make it? Because if you're getting this sick, I don't know what it's going to look like in August training camp. But credit to him, credit to Bill Callahan. I think for me, like, one of the big turning points of the preseason was that Hall of Fame game when he went out there and played every snap. And I think we all thought at the time, like, they're trying to say, okay, go out there and see what you can do. And he went out there and I think proved a lot of people wrong in that game and played really well. And he talked about after that game that mini camp was a wake-up call for him in terms of things he needed to do, and he put in the work. So credit to DeJuan Jones. He is the runaway winner here for me.
Yeah, I had forgotten about that in the Hall of Fame game, that they sent him out there for every single snap, and that was very much like a message for all involved. Like, hey, get out. You got to get out there and play because we need you in shape and we need you ready. And it turned out they needed him way earlier, I think, than they ever wanted him to start. Because, look, there's no redshirt years, right? That's what they always say. There's no redshirt years in the NFL. And so they weren't able to sneak him by with that. And again, there's a bigger discussion here. What are you doing at that tackle position? You know, are you going to be able to say to one of these guys, come on back, but you're sitting on the bench this year? I don't know. And there's two guys that you're paying way too much money to do that too. So that's a really interesting storyline to watch. Now, Mary Kay, you said there was a clear runner up. I wonder if we're thinking of the same person.
You know what? I think Ronnie Hickman deserves a little love in this category. You know, he turned out to be, if you look at the PFF grades, he turned out to be the sixth best, I believe, amongst Browns players. Do I have that right? Can that possibly be right? Sixth on the team with a 74.1 grade. And he kind of came out of nowhere. He was an undrafted rookie. Of course, again, another Ohio State guy, ready for the moment. But certainly nowhere near, you know, close to what they got out of DeJuan, but still an honorable mention worth discussing.
So that was the name I was thinking, and that was the only other name, well, the only other Browns name. One of our texters nominated Victor Wembanyama. Victor Wembanyama. He's not up for one of these awards. Someone else nominated Martin Emerson. That's okay. We'll just chalk that up to an error in judgment. But yeah, Ronnie Hickman was the only other name that came up outside of DeJuan Jones from our texters. So yeah, that was again, not a chance to actually win this award, but you know, DTR played this year and did win them a game against the Steelers. Like, that's worth something, but I don't even think he's necessarily in the running for a runner-up spot. I would put Hickman ahead of him, Ashley.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, I remember at one point late in the season, Dan, I looked at you and I said, did you know Ronnie Hickman is the highest graded rookie safety on PFF right now? And I just looked it up again. He did fall to number three with, you know, the postseason games and everything that happened with the Browns in Houston. But again, it's just still impressive considering he was an undrafted guy that, you know, and I'd be curious to go back and listen to our 53-man roster pod, but I know safety, when we were trying to predict that first 53, that was one of the positions we were debating, and we were between Ronnie Hickman or D'Anthony Bell, and I think we did end up putting them both on and said they'll probably keep that fifth safety, and they did. But this was a guy who it wasn't clear-cut for him to even make the roster, and he did, and he played when they needed him to. And credit to D'Anthony Bell, who's obviously not a rookie, but the fact that they had to trot both of those guys out there and they played well, I mean, it really was a credit to the job they did, I thought, and Ronnie especially being a rookie.
Okay, so there we go. DeJuan Jones, our rookie of the year. That one was a no-brainer. So now we go to most improved player. This is going to be the last award that we do here on this part of the podcast. We will have a part two. Our most improved player last season was Donovan Peoples-Jones, who is now a member of the Detroit Lions. somebody, by the way, somebody nominated him for most disappointing, actually, as well. So that was an interesting choice. But most improved player, there are a lot of options for this, I think. I know where I want to go, but I got to nominate the gimme for Rookie of the Year. So, Mary Kay, we are back to you to nominate our first nominee for most improved.
You know, the guy that I just keep thinking about, that when I looked out there onto the field and I would think, wow, he's different from last year. It was J.O.K. I mean, I just feel like he was always back there making a tackle for a loss. I mean, he knew where to be. He wasn't sort of lost in space like he had been in other years. I looked up a few numbers for this, and, you know, it's sort of it played out that way statistically for him as well. In 2022, he was 10th on the team with a 65.5 grade. In 2023, he bumped up to 4th with a 76.8. And from a league-wide standpoint, he jumped from 39th in 2022 at 65.5 up to 20th in the NFL at 75.2. And he did have some issues in the wild card game, but he also was just a monster with the tackling and the tackles for losses, which is the place where, you know, I think he can really continue to build and make his hay, and he'll clean up the other stuff. But in my mind, he visibly made the most obvious improvement from the guy that I watched last year.
Okay, JOK was a popular nominee among our texters. Ashley, who do you have here?
I'm just going to have to second Mary Kay's JOK nomination, because he was also the first guy I thought of. And again, to build off of some of the stats and rankings that Mary Kay was talking about, I thought really interesting, you know, the first 2 years of his career combined, this kind of almost tells the story of his season for me. He had 16 pressures total in his first 4 years. He had 18 in just this season. So I think that to me just shows off this aggressiveness. I thought he looked better this year physically. It looked like he put more weight on. He just looked, again, like the game slowed down for him in a way that he was able to play as aggressive as they always kind of thought he could be. You know, I think when they drafted JOK, the reason they pegged him as a first-round talent is because of his versatility. And I do think you saw that this year. You saw, you know, Jim Schwartz wasn't afraid. 47 snaps in the slot this year. He had 25 the year before. 116 snaps this year on the D-line. Still, most of his snaps were in the box, 620. But, you know, 10 snaps at corner. They lined him up all over the place this year, really. And I thought you saw that pay off. He got his first two career interceptions this year on top of getting to the quarterback. So I just think for me, you saw him step into that versatility role in a way that they had always envisioned, that the game hadn't slowed down for him enough yet as a rookie or even in his second year. So he was my pick as well.
Okay. Have you guys seen Rocky IV?
No.
What?
A long time ago, but yes.
Oh, maybe. Yes. I don't know. Which one was that?
Oh, my God. The one where he fights the Russian.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Drago. Yes. Okay. We were about to stop the podcast, and Mary Kay was going to have to go watch.
Watch Rocky IV and come back.
Okay. So there is a speech at the end of Rocky IV from Rocky. After he, spoiler alert, beats Drago in a dramatic fight. And he says to the crowd in Russia, if I can change and you can change, everybody can change. And that is why I am nominating for Most Improved Player.
Oh, I know where you're going with this, Dan.
Browns tight end, David Njoku.
Oh, Dan. Dan Nuff. How far you've come.
A man who is built. A man who is built like Ivan Drago. Who looks like Drago. Who, like, looks like he's built the way Drago was built. Although, legally, let's clarify that. To me, David Njoku made a leap this year. That's why I'm nominating here. He's been fine, right? Obviously, we can go through some past podcasts where I have been critical of David. But I thought this year, especially in the back part of the year, we saw a different David Njoku. We saw a David Njoku that suddenly was ready to take that step into the stratosphere of top tight ends in the league. A guy who is a pain to cover, a guy who all of a sudden started catching everything after he had to do the jugs machine at his house and FaceTime everybody on the team to let him know that he was doing the jugs machine at his house. This was a different David Njoku this year. And this is honestly the most optimistic I've felt about him, maybe actually making that leap into that area where it's like, hey, it's third down. We know the ball's going to David Njoku. Make sure he's covered. And yet somehow the ball still gets in David Njoku's hands. I don't think he's all the way there yet. But man, that's second half of the season he put together. And some of those plays he made and some of those catches he made, especially after Joe Flacco took over, that was a different person than what I've seen at any other point in his career. That was the 8-touchdown David Njoku, Mary Kay. And he might have gotten there if he'd have played against Cincinnati, right?
But you know what, Dan? I felt that he was almost that guy last year. And actually, he graded out higher last year, according to Pro Football Focus, than he did this year. Last year, he was 73.7. Again, not everything is Pro Football Focus, but he was seventh on the team at 73.7 last year, and ninth at 60, or that might be the NFL rankings, at 68.2. So he went down in his ranking. Again, we don't put every single thing on those rankings, but I think I always felt that he was performing at a very high level. So for me, it wasn't all that much different than my own view of him last year. It just showed up in a couple more touchdown passes with Joe. So I see what you're saying, and I have no problem if we switch over to David, but I didn't feel like he made a tremendous leap forward from what he did last year.
So that's interesting, because I do think there's a lot of people out there who would hear this and just be like, well, duh, that's David Njoku, right? Like, a lot of people have thought this highly of David Njoku. So maybe this is more of a me thing, Ashley. Maybe it's just like, like, in my eyes, I just am seeing David Njoku differently now. Personally, the way I felt about him versus what I saw this year, I just saw a leap from him. I just saw a different player. Maybe I was just more open-minded about it. I don't know.
I think this is about a reporter's personal journey in appreciating what a guy could be in his potential. I do, you know, David is, I think, a good nomination for this one. For me, I was so stuck. I'm like, for these awards, I get like this every year. I think I get stuck on my gut feeling guy. And I do, I go with the first answer on the test. So you're not going to sway me to pick David over JOK. And maybe that's because I got so in the weeds on JOK his rookie year. And I'm like, oh, this is what everyone was talking about with this guy 2 whole years ago when we finally got to see it. So I think JOK might not be the obvious answer to a bunch of fans, but I think the way that we look at JOK and how closely we watch those snaps, I agree with Mary Kay. Something just felt differently. And David, I do think he made a jump, but I do think, like Mary Kay said, that this has kind of always been, you know, what we thought was just bubbling beneath the surface. Maybe there's still more. Maybe he'll make an even bigger jump next year in your eyes, Dan.
Maybe. I mean, I guess the thing, like, listen, former Browns tight ends coach T.C. McCartney. He spoke to me in one press conference when he said that they tell David, like, that you should never be covered. And I guess that's sort of how I've always viewed it. It just has always felt to me like he's been good and he's had moments, but he's never felt like just uncoverable to me. And I think there were times this year, especially in the second half of the year, where he felt uncoverable. And that to me was always the next step, is like, if you want to be an elite tight end, you need to just feel like there's no way to cover this guy and no way to stop this guy. I mean, he was even getting his feet in bounds towards the end of the year. Like that had been an issue throughout his career, is like, he'd have these great catches and he wouldn't be able to drag that second foot, just little things like that. That's, I don't know. I'm making the case for David. That's all. JOK is a great option. Grant Delpit was someone that got thrown out as well from our subscribers. Sione Takitaki got thrown out too, but it was mostly JOK and Njoku, but pretty heavily JOK from our texters. So they certainly agree with the two of you that JOK should be the pick here.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's stick with JOK. I think you make a really compelling argument and a really strong case. But just in terms of going from point A to point B, or going from level whatever, level 5 up to level 1, I think that JOK made a bigger leap. I do think that he made a bigger jump in terms of his individual performance, to the point where I think we were concerned last year about, I mean, he's a first round pick. And I think we were concerned last year about, you know, does he really have what it takes to be really, really good at this? And I think this year he really showed that he did. Now, he made a mistake and his eyes were in the wrong place on the long touchdown in the wild card game. And he readily admits that. But just from a instinct standpoint and, you know, just a hustle and an explosiveness off the ball and just the run fits and knowing where he's supposed to be. And I just saw a tremendous change in him. And I think it was, again, in my mind, and I think Ashley's too, just a bigger jump than what David took.
And like, to your point, Mary Kay, like about the Houston game, like, yes, his eyes were in the wrong spot in that one play. But for me watching that game, like, especially in the early portion of the game, it felt like JOK was the only one who showed up for the defense. Like, and I think that's what I think of when I think of his season as a whole, is that sort of aggressiveness and attitude. And to me, I agree, it's just a bigger jump. Sorry to Dan.
That's okay. just like with the most disappointing.
There we go.
Mary Kay voiced her displeasure. I'm going to voice my opposition here. I'm writing the opposition. What is it? The minority opinion. What is it in the Supreme Court?
Yes.
You have the majority opinion and you have the dissents. As somebody dissent, who also got a political science minor in college.
I'm writing the dissenting opinion. That's all. It's no problem. I will say, I do want to throw out one other nomination, and this was the only nomination for this, so I think I win it. It came from Tom in Middlebury, Connecticut. He says I should be nominated for best dressed. So, and I was the only nominee. So
America,
I guess I win.
And
it by
I would
default.
Agree with that. I think for the white coat, you donning Absolutely. The white coat, you win.
Absolutely.
You were better dressed than David Njoku. I did try to make that argument for you on Twitter.
Although, well, unfortunately, I lost that one. I lost that one by a wide margin. Believe it or not.
We will agree with our texter on that one.
Okay, we're going to come back on our next podcast, and these are the awards we're going to hand out. The player most likely to break out. We have to have a little chat with Ashley about her nominee from last year. The best offseason acquisition.
It's the bad, worst. Folks. It's bad. Bad. Like, I was like, what was I thinking? I hope I went last. I hope I went last on that pod and was simply searching for a name, because but I probably went first. It's unhinged. That's a tease for you.
All right. Best offseason acquisition, worst offseason acquisition. And these are actually two of my favorites, the defining moment of the season and the biggest miss of the year, which is a play or a game that led to the most regret. So that those are the awards we're going to give out in part two of our Orange and Brown Talk awards show. So just get subscribed on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so that hits your feed as soon as I hit publish on it. Also find us on Instagram, search Orange and Brown Talk. Find us on YouTube, search Cleveland Browns on cleveland.com. And of course, I mentioned our texters were giving us nominations. If you're sitting there like, wait, how do I do that? Go to cleveland.com/browns, click the blue banner at the top of the page. You can get signed up to join that club as well. For Mary Kay and Ashley, I am Dan. Thanks for listening, everybody.